In my moments of fear, through every pain, every tear, there's a God who's been faithful to me. When my strength was all gone, when my heart had no song, still in love, He's proved faithful to me. Every word He's promised is true. What I thought was impossible, I see my God do. He's been faithful, faithful to me. Looking back, His love and mercy I see. Though in my heart I have questioned, even failed to believe, yet He's been faithful, faithful to me. When my heart looked away, the many times I could not pray, still my God, He was faithful to me. The days I spent so selfishly, reaching out for what pleased me, even then He's been faithful to me. Every time I come back to Him, He is waiting with open arms, and I see once again He's been faithful, faithful to me. Looking back, His love and mercy I see. Though in my heart I have questioned, even failed to believe, yet He's been faithful, faithful. Though in my heart I have questioned, even failed to believe, yet He's been faithful, faithful. In my heart I have questioned, even failed to believe, yes, He's been faithful, faithful to me.
What a great thought. The Lord has been faithful, hasn't He? When I haven't been faithful, He has always been faithful. Thank the Lord for that. Before we get to the scripture reading this morning, I failed to mention this earlier, but Pastor Johnson is going to be preaching for us this morning. Been looking forward to that. If you don't know Pastor Johnson, he's my father-in-law, is one. And number two, he started Shasta Baptist Church 42-plus years ago and has been faithful, serving, preaching, and providing. And so want to take some time to hear Pastor Johnson preach this morning. And if you've not heard him preach before, you're in for a treat. Been looking forward to that. And thank you, Ms. Johnson, for your faithfulness as well. Yep. And so we're looking forward to a great day. Yeah, you better amen both of those, right? And my mother-in-law, first of all, as well, yes. And But God is good. That's one of those songs you almost need an invitation after that, right? And I hope in your life you take time to thank the Lord. And how many times we pass over God's blessings. We're not to the preaching time yet. I'm not preaching this morning, so I got to get a little preaching out of the way. I think that's how preachers do that. But thank the Lord for the Lord's goodness. I'm sure we'll be talking about that as we get to this Thanksgiving time. But we'll stand for the scripture reading. Brother Jewel, read the scripture, and then Pastor Johnson come and preach this morning. So I want you to keep your attention. Stay here. Turn your cell phones off. If you don't get that, you want the honor of doing that? I'll give Pastor Johnson the honor of doing that. Would you stand to your feet? We'll read the scripture this morning, please.
Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians in your Bible. If you'll turn there with me, I'll read this out loud first, and then I'll read it through a second time and ask you to join me on that second reading. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, or the New Testament there, verse 18. Very fitting verse, very familiar verse, but powerful, one we need to add to our lives daily. 1 Thessalonians. When you find chapter 5, look down at verse 18. I'll read it, and then you join me on the second reading. The Bible says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Would you read that through with me, please? "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your provision, allowing us to come and meet in your house with your people. I ask that you would bless Pastor Johnson now as he preaches. Give him wisdom. Give him the words to say. Lord, may we have a special time together in your house. We'll give you the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. As you're seated this morning, please hold your Bibles open. Let me also remind you that this first part of the message is totally irreverent for guests and visitors this morning. If you came to hear Greek and Hebrew, you're not. You're going to get prepared for Thanksgiving. And that's my job. For 40 plus years, we did this every year, right around Thanksgiving. We just have a few weeks left to get ready, so we want to do that this morning. So bear with me a few moments as we talk about the preparation for the Thanksgiving meal and Thanksgiving. Now, first of all, there's a few words that do not need to be spoken between now and January 3rd. First word is the word diet. There are no diets. All you dieting people, knock it off. Seriously, I believe there's 105 words in the Bible that are fat. There's not one on being skinny. So think about that for just a moment. That's biblical. So no diets. Number two, organic. The word organic. We don't hear about organic. People, look at me. At my age, I need all the preservatives I can get. And so don't shop organic stuff at the Thanksgiving time. Number three word we do not want to deal with in this time of the year is salad. Now, Jell-O salad, any kind of salad that requires something sugary in it that has like graham cracker crust to hold it together, that's okay. That green leaf stuff. People, if you go to someone's house for Thanksgiving dinner and they have salad, go somewhere else. Just leave, go to a restaurant, get a good meal. But ladies, we have to have green as part on the menu for that. Then take a head of lettuce, chop it, honk out of the middle of it, stick a candle in there, pray it was varnished and light it and use it for decoration. But no salad, okay? Are we clear about that? The next word is the word tofu or tofurkey. Now, there are some people in this world so dumb, they don't realize that they want to go buy a turkey shaped out of tofu. Ladies and gentlemen, God has already made something shaped like a turkey. It's called a turkey. So you don't want a turkey that wiggles. You put it on the table and it doesn't want that. No tofu, no tofurkey. Are we clear about that? Next word we don't want to hear about is the words range-free. You want to buy a range-free turkey. Can I tell you what's more cruel than anything on this planet? Let that turkey go out there and wander around, scratch and eat grasshoppers, enjoy the sunshine. And then we're going to kill him anyway. And we're going to cut his head off, rip out his guts, tear off his feathers, stuff him full of wet bread and shove him in an oven. Now, if you want to talk about cruelty, that poor thing doesn't stand a chance. So don't do range-free. Just buy one that's been raised in a cage, pumped full of all kinds of stuff, and it will be fine. So did we clear that up? All right, so those are words we don't want to hear about anymore for Thanksgiving. Now, Thanksgiving, ladies and gentlemen, Thanksgiving. I guess a couple of things, ladies, forgive us that we don't care about decorations. We're men. Seriously, you could put up two sawhorses and throw a sheet of plywood across the top of that, and we'd be perfectly happy with that. We're sorry that, you know, you make a little turkey with our name on it, and then there's the little decorative plate underneath the plate, which we're going to talk about in a minute here. And the only thing that makes sense with me with decorations is two forks. Now, that's the only thing that makes sense, the little fork and the big fork. Now, since we're not having salad, the little fork is not the salad fork. The little fork is the offhand fork. The big fork is for your good hand, and when your arm starts to give out and while you're getting blood in it, you use the other fork to keep going while you're eating. So that makes sense to me. So forgive us if we don't pay attention to the cornucopia on the table and all the decorations and napkins that people never use anyway. I don't know what they do with all that stuff. So the decorations, we're not impressed with the decoration thing. Now, the good thing about Thanksgiving, of course, is the aromas that come out of Thanksgiving. There's something about roast turkey, the smell of roast turkey. And then if you get a good ham in there with that roast turkey, a good ham, now a Virginia sugar cured ham, if it's really good, it's still got the foot on it. I mean, it's good. And you got it in the oven, and you wake up in the morning and you smell the aroma of roast turkey and baked ham, that ham that's been got that little fat layer over the top of it, like that's got the crisp cuts in it like this. And then there's the pineapple slices with the maraschino cherry in the middle and little cloves dotted around there. Look like, you know, a Muslim terrorist caught by a Black Hawk helicopter out in the desert when they got nuked. That kind of stuff. Then you got, oh yeah. Then you realize why God gave you two nostrils, one side for turkey, the other side for the ham. Here's another concern I have. Why do we eat Thanksgiving dinner at 4 o'clock in the afternoon? What other meal do you eat at 4 o'clock in the afternoon? That's stupid. Now, you got to have, you know, little things to keep you going, like you get up in the morning and have a little light breakfast, you know, like 4 biscuits with covered in sausage gravy and about 6 eggs, half a pound of bacon and sausage that goes with that. That might hold you over till 4 o'clock. Or they have the little snack things that they have, you know, vegetables and dip. That's a joke. But little smokies, you know, those little sausage things doing the back swim in the barbecue sauce, that works. Salami, cheese, that might keep you going. But why do you eat at 4 o'clock? It makes no sense to me whatsoever. I'm thinking, wait a minute. Why don't we eat at noon and then we can eat again at 6? So you sit around all day long. Now, the only benefit, of course, to it is that you watch some football or whatever else and snack and all the kids. So, well, it's all about family. It's not about family. Just like this morning is not about the message. It's about this time right here. Okay? Are you clear? So we get ready to eat. Now they're in there in the kitchen cooking away, and they're getting ready to go. It's always funny to me. The ladies want the guy to carve the turkey. Like somehow or another we're good at it or we're better than a woman is. Nuh-uh. Guys want to carve the turkey because we get to eat first. You cut off a piece, you go, no, that's no good. I better eat that. And then by the time you're done, you pretty much decimated half the bird anyway. And so you're ready to go. So you smell, they're in there cooking. They're making enough mashed potatoes to fill the back of a 56 Buick. And then sweet potatoes and yams and those yams with all the stuff in there, or the pecans, and apple slices, and you're going to cover it over with another crust of pecans or pralines. Maybe if you like the marshmallow thing, that's okay. Then all of that. You say, well, what about a vegetable? Okay, now listen, you're allowed to have green beans, but only if you put enough bacon in there to kill the green bean taste. Okay, that works. Then they're making stuffing, depending on your particular geography of where you get your stuffing, cornbread stuffing if you're from the Holy Land, or just bread stuffing. There's an Italian one that's got sausage in it that's actually pretty good, and that sort of stuff. So we got the bread, we got the turkey, we got the stuffing, we got the mashed potatoes and gravy, we got rolls, bread, got to have bread there, right, with butter and those sorts of things. Then it's time to come to the table and eat, and you get together. Now, people, look at me. This is not a day. You usually have 15, 20 people there for a meal. This is not a time for everybody to hold their hands and talk about how thankful they are. If there's 20 people and it's 3 minutes ahead, you just blew lunch for an hour. Do you realize that? If you want to talk about how thankful you are, write it down on a piece of paper and mail it to someone who cares, because we don't care. And the other thing is, don't have somebody pray who hasn't prayed since last Thanksgiving and they want to get caught up on it. You know what I mean? You got one of them relatives, you know, oh, thou God of God of God of gods and God of gods and gods on this August morning. It's November, stupid. And then he's going through this whole prayer of things. Thou God of Jeroboam and Rehoboam and all the Boam boys. And thou God of Josh Fat and all the fat people. We thank you for that. And then he starts naming everybody in China by their first name. And you're thinking, we're never going to get to eat here. Look at me. You got a 5-year-old? prop them up, say, go, kid. And they'll say, thank you, Jesus, for this food. Amen. Now, that's real. It's genuine. And it's very important. Don't waste time. Say, don't you believe in prayer? Of course I do. Pray in the morning. Tell God how thankful you are before the meal. But when it's time for the meal, it is time to eat. It is not time to fool around and waste time on other stuff. Am I clear? Good. So then we get around the table, it's time to eat, and we sit there. Now, there's a couple of items that are necessary to a Thanksgiving meal. Now, this may seem a little unusual to you. You see, so if you're like my people, people reach across and grab food on your plate. Oh, that looks good. Don't touch it. By the way, if your cell phone goes off in the service, we're going to stick one of these in your neck. So make sure you got it turned off. Are you clear? Go out of here, look like you got a hickey. But anyway, so you need one of these at the table to keep folks off your plate so you know what you're doing. Then it's time to eat. Now, look, my complaint with the plate thing, you know, the beautiful decorative little plate that they always try to give you, gold trim, you know, Grandma had it in the wagon when she came across with Abraham Lincoln. Okay, that's nice. But the problem with the plate thing is they always give you these little bitty plates. While the turkey gets the best plate. He's dead. He doesn't care. They give us a little plate. You can't hardly put any food on it. Get one of these dudes right here. Now, if you ladies don't like that because it looks wrong, the guys would love to have a plate like this. See, it's got a well in it, so you can pour a lot of gravy in there and everything else, and you just kind of mix it. And when you make your meal, let me teach you Yankees how to make a meal here. You take and make a Shasta Dam reservoir of mashed potatoes over here on this side. Fill it with gravy. I like to put my stuffing in the gravy right there. You got cranberry sauce. Now, folks, don't use Grandma's recipe for cranberry sauce. Should be shaped like a can. Couple slices of that over there. You get your turkey and ham. Lay it down gently so you do not bruise it. If you want to make it look good, put a few green beans over here. Maybe corn. And then some rolls with butter in them like that. And the butter's kind of it's coming out of there onto the plate. Then you get your fork and you hit the turkey. Get a little ham in that. Get some mashed potatoes. And you go down through the gravy and scoop up a little bit of stuffing. See, isn't that a lot on the fork? No. About the time you're heading towards your mouth, your taste buds are lining up in formation in the back of your mouth. And they're ready to go. And you take a bite of that salty, peppery, Lord, let me keep it in English. And you start chewing on that and you realize, oh, yeah, this is good. This is really good. Now, you say, but I always feel guilty after Thanksgiving. What's wrong with you? What, you're going to sit down and eat? Say, well, aren't you concerned about gluttony, Pastor Johnson? Does it look like I'm concerned about gluttony? The truth of the matter is gluttony is overeating by accident. Bible says, whatsoever thy hand find, put in thy mouth. It's somewhere in there. So you're eating. So the key is, when do you stop eating? Now, it used to be you stopped eating when you couldn't hear a conversation at the table anymore. You're hearing just, you know, everything was just kind of like an EKG that doesn't work anymore. Or you couldn't see across the table. People over there got fuzzy. Or your gut got so big it cut the circulation off your legs and your feet went numb. Okay, that used to work too. But now, because we live in the greatest country in the world, I said we live in the greatest country in the world, we now have extended silverware and a spoon to go with it. So now as you get pushed further from the table, you can keep going. And if they don't have one of those zapper deals like that, they can say, look, a cockroach, and reach over and get somebody else's stuff and put it on your plate like that. When you get done eating, then you're all finished. You sit there, you're finished, you're ready to call it an afternoon or whatever else, and you're done eating. So you get up and you go to the couch like this. And then all of a sudden you realize your lung capacity is now shrunk to the size of a kidney bean. Because you ate too much. You're going, And people say, it's so happy. It's so good to have family with great conversation. Can anybody talk? They're prehistoric. By About that time, someone says, dessert. You go, yeah, oh, yeah, here we go, dessert. And they get up and they clean the table off. And now they take that little mousy plate they try to make you eat dinner off of. That's a dessert plate. And you take all the different pies that you have. Got a witness on pie this morning. Cherry pie, pumpkin pie, cheesecake, apple pie, Dutch apple pie, any pie, round pies, any kind of pie. And you load them, you make a little pie on your plate, dump a half a gallon of ice cream on there, can of whipped cream, a cherry, take it back and go back and sit down. Now here you go, look at me. This is you skinny people, this is where you lose out. You sit down, you don't even need a TV tray. You just put it right there. And if you did it right, you put the remote next to it. And if you really did it right, you got so many chins, you can change the channel just by bobbing your head like that. And then you have dessert, and about 10 o'clock at night, someone orders pizza, and you keep going. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 18, please. I want to give you this morning very quickly, and preachers always say that, and then they preach too long. I'm going to give you one word that will help us be thankful. One word. That doesn't mean one word and the sermon's over. It means one word. It's in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. You see it? Here's the word. In. Young preacher went to an old preacher many years ago and said, "Preacher, I'm having a hard time putting messages together, and I just don't seem to find anything in the Bible." And he said, "Son, just get your Bible out. Go to the first verse. What does it say? In the beginning." "No, stop." He goes, "Son, what's that first word in Genesis 1:1? In." He goes, "Not out, in. Not by, in. Not through, in." And the preacher went on for 30 minutes, and the kid was so excited because he thought, "I can't wait till he gets to the. I mean, this is amazing." "In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." The key to all that right there is that first word, in. Because it does something about our thankfulness. Again, it doesn't say through, for, with. It says in everything. What does that mean? Because the word in implies while it's happening in your life, you give thanks. Good, bad, bitter, sweet, high, low, heartbreak, joy, gladness. While it happens in everything. Ladies and gentlemen, look at me. If you can come to that place in your Christian life while you're going through something, while you're in it, you give thanks. Then you've attained to something in the Christian life that simple little word tries to help us to understand better. When it happens, be thankful. "Well, I just don't feel like being thankful." Then don't operate on your feelings, operate on Scripture. "Well, I can't find any reason to be thankful." You cannot. Yesterday, my wife and I went up to Mount Lassen. It's about to get snowed in up there, and we like to walk around the Manzanita Lake up there. And there's no Uber to get you around that lake. You got to walk the whole stupid thing. We stopped at Jersey Mike's to pick up a sandwich, and the couple came in behind me with a little boy, and he was severely handicapped. He had a trach in his throat. He's about 8, maybe 10 years old, maybe. And he was just kind of holding on to his mom, and he couldn't speak, so he's making little sounds and stuff. Now, we have a grandson who's autistic. But this little boy's life, whew. And the mom, like any good mom, was so patient with him. And I did a little something for him. But the point is, as I left that place, I just thought to myself, I know what you're going to say, Pastor Johnson. You're going to say, "But for the grace of God, that could be one of my grandkids or one of my children." Yeah, that's right. Can you, in everything at the cemetery, be thankful? In everything, in the loneliest moments of your life, the biggest battle that you face, the deepest valley you've ever walked, the darkest midnight you've ever known, the biggest struggle you've ever had in your life, in everything, give thanks. Not only does the "in" imply when it happens, it also imply why it happens. Why did it happen? There's two reasons things happen to us in our lives, ladies and gentlemen. Number one, God allows it. Number two, we cause it. Now, we're very quick, and we've said this before, we're very quick to claim Job when we're Jonah. You know the difference, right? Job was a man who went through great suffering in his life, and it was all about God's testing in his life and working in his life. God allowed that to happen to Job when he lost everything materially in one day and lost all 10 children. As we remember now, they weren't little ones. They were adults. They had their own homes. That means he lost his grandkids. All in one day, this man is wiped out. God allowed that to happen to test Job and to give us an example of the patience of Job. So sometimes things happen because God allows that. The Jonah part is God, Jonah winds up in the belly of a whale, not by accident and not by testing, but because Jonah would not do what God told him to do. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Oh. Well, how do you know, Pastor Johnson, if it's testing from God or it's chastening from God because of my life? Well, the best way and the simplest way is ask God and be willing to accept the answer. If we've caused it, you can fix that. You get right with God. It's that simple. Well, it's not that simple, Pastor. See, it's very complicated. No, we make it complicated. It's very simple. You get right with God. That's how you fix that part of it. If it's testing, you stay faithful to God, trust Him, and He'll bring you through this thing. All things do work together for them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. That's still in the Bible, and it still works. But didn't your parents... All right, let me show you how many abused people we have in this church. How many of you, when you were kids, your parents spanked you? Okay, watch. Get this on video. Let's turn all these parents in. And when you got a spanking, did your dad or mom ever say, son, you're not going to thank me for this now, but someday you will. Liars. No kid ever said, thank you, Dad. Go ahead, flail away. It's like them people who told you couldn't go swimming after you ate. Huh? Were you there? You couldn't eat after you went swimming because you get cramps and you die. They never said that about mowing the grass. You eat, let's go mow the lawn. Oh, I might get cramps and die pushing the lawnmower. They never do. They lied. You never turned around and told your mama thank you. Now, my mother was terrible at spanking. She used the fly swatter. Seriously. One of those wire mesh fly swatters. She flailed away until that thing looked like Tina Turner on the end of a stick. I mean, you know, it all came apart. Wow, I'm so sorry, Michael. I have to spank you like this. It's okay, Mom will be over in a minute. Just keep going. You're fine. Nobody ever thought for the moment chastening seemed to be grievous. But afterwards, Hebrews says, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Yielded if we accept it. Ladies and gentlemen, even a chastening can be a time of thanksgiving because, hey, look at me, at least it proves you belong to God. God just chastens His children. In everything, give thanks. That's the why. In everything also implies what has happened to you. If I can thank God in everything, then I have taken a huge step by faith. So I can say, you mean, Pastor Johnson, everything about my past and everything about my childhood, all the difficulties of my life growing up, all of those things, I can be thankful for that. You can be if in everything you look back on your past and see how God has now taken your past to shape your present and to mold your future and bring you along in your life. Don't you understand? In everything implies this importance in my life of realizing what has happened to me. Oh, just day-to-day stuff. Well, what is this all about? Why did this happen? Why was the government shut down? When did it ever work? Why was the government shut down? What is that all about? Hey, what this? And then there's those and then things with the stuff, and now you got to have God take out a loan on your house to buy enough food for Thanksgiving. And what's that all about? What's the economy all about? And what's this all about? What happened? God's people are not supposed to run around like chickens with their head cut off. Because they don't understand what happens in their life. So, well, Pastor Johnson, you've never been overtaken, you've never been shocked by something? Well, of course. But wait a minute. In everything means what is happening in my life, what has happened, taking place. Can I be thankful for that? You know, my testimony, growing up in a drunkard's home in this town, Daddy was a Baptist preacher, ran off with a woman in the church. Mother turned to drink, became a drunkard, married a man who was a drunkard after they divorced. And then I lived in a drunkard's home in this town, spent half my childhood sleeping under the bed from the drunk stepfathers when the big he-man come home, beat on children and his wife. You think for 5 seconds that I've ever learned to be thankful for that part of my childhood? Yes. Because I tell you this now, as the old preacher once said, I ain't preaching now, I'm telling the truth. I pull in the driveway and I think, thank God. Thank God for this house. Thank God for this home. Thank God for that lady right there. Thank God for the life. See, there's something about not having something that makes you appreciate it when you get it. Does that not true? Okay, now watch me. What has happened to me? What, did I want that to happen? No. Did God want that to happen? No. That happened because of people's choices. But as a pastor now for over 40 years, that childhood has helped me help people in their lives. You should understand, in everything, it teaches me to be thankful for what has happened. So when something happens, you go out and you're in a hurry to get somewhere and you get in the car and you look out and the tire's flat. And you go, thank God. If you have a teenage boy, thank God. Make him change the stupid tire. Don't wait on AAA. Just tell the kid, get in there. I've never done that before. You won't say that in 20 minutes. Go on and get the jack and get under there and get that thing going. In everything, give thanks for what has happened. Look out now. Listen to me. It shows submission in your life. Some of you got God problems, don't you? You got God problems. You really think God has wronged you because of what others have done or didn't do in your life. You got God problems. One of the greatest Christians ever lived, the Apostle Paul, said, I wanted to serve God, but I had this thorn in my flesh. It limited him physically as to what he could do. But then later on, he would say in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he would say that I learned, though, that when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And Paul learned to thank God for thorns in his life. Well, if God can make this sense to me, then no. People, stop trying to make God submit to you. God straightens this out. If God makes this me understand this, if God shouldn't have done that in my life, you're questioning God. People, we're talking about the Almighty God who spun the stars in their courses, who literally take the life and snuff it out of our bodies like the flame on the end of a candle. We have no right. We just need to bow the knee. Say, dear God, I don't know it. I don't understand it. At this point, I can't even make sense out of it. But you're God, and I'm your child, and whatever you decide is best. In everything, give thanks for what has happened. And in everything, give thanks because of when it happened. Would you look back? Do you do one of those end of the year things? Now, please, not one of those people who writes Christmas letters. It's like stuff on the internet. People lie on those things. It's unbelievable. All of our children are happy and healthy and our life is great. And I was thinking, wait a minute, I know you. That's not true. But who wants to write a letter and go, everything's a wreck, my husband and I don't get along, the kids are messed up. I mean, don't send out one of those letters. We don't need to increase the suicide rate, okay? But here's the, do you ever get to the end of the year and just kind of look back on the year and think of all that has happened? What comes out when you think about what has happened this, it's already November, it's unbelievable. What has happened this past year? That, by the way, that you had no idea January 1, none. Can you look back on when it has happened and say, but God knows, God's right. Hey, you know what you're going to find out? Look at me, child of God. If you're a child of God this morning, you're going to find out he brought you through this. Amen. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. David had come to that place as a young shepherd boy in his life. Some people say he wrote Psalm 23 right after David and Goliath, when he ran to Goliath and slew the great giant. I don't know, but I do know this. He knew that death was a shadow. The valley had an end to it, and God was sufficient, and you can get through this thing. And that's how you got to this point. We don't get here because of our character and our strength or our government or your stinking bank account. You got here because God came through. So we can look back on when it's happened and when it happened in our life and say, phew. So Brother Tom sang that this morning. I can't hear that song without weeping. Because God has been faithful. Hadn't he, church? Thank both you Methodists. I said, hadn't he, church? That's right, he has too. You probably buried a loved one this week. You probably this past year. We had dear folks in our church been with us for decades on the other side watching from heaven today. Every October 1st is a special day to our family when little Claire Grace went to heaven. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You see, the word that starts the verse, the truth is how it ends. If you're in the will of God, you should have reason to find thanks in anything, in everything. I look up that word everything in the Greek. Here's what it means. Everything, just like your King James Bible says. Everything. All the high, low, bitter, sweet, good, bad, every bit of it, in everything. If I'm in the will of God, and let me say this and I'll finish this morning. Here's the deal. Are you in God's will? So, well, I don't know about that, Pastor Johnson. Well, number one, are you a child of God? Look at me. Do you know that you are saved? And saved according to what the Bible says, not what religion teaches, not anybody's church teaches, what the Bible says. He that hath the Son hath life. That's not just temporary life. That's like eternal life. The moment you get saved, you're going to get all the eternal life you're ever going to get. Right there, that moment. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Yeah, but what happens if I give up? What happens if I do that? Listen to me. He doesn't give up on you. No, we're kept by the power of God, ready to be revealed at the last time. You know, there's no power greater than God's power. And he keeps us until the day of redemption, the Bible says. And that's the end of everything else. The moment you're saved, you are guaranteed eternal life. That does not give you permission to sin. It gives you guarantee to serve God because you love him, not because you're trying to earn something. Yeah, you're in the will of God. That means you're saved. Number two, quickly. It means, Christian, as best as you know how, you're trying to live by this book. Well, none of us are perfect, Pastor Johnson. Okay, why don't we stop using that lame excuse? Like what? That's a shocking revelation? None of us are perfect. Never heard that before. Amazing. And you better not be talking about me. I have already attained unto sanctification and already glorified, and I'm all. What kind of a dumb excuse is that? We all sin all the time. We better not be. But look at me. As best as you know how, you try to live by the Word of God and honor Him with your life. Guess what? You're in the will of God. So now everything that comes to me is filtered through the fingers of the Almighty God of heaven. And that's why it says that in everything we can give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning. Well, yeah, that's the thing. Get me ready for Thanksgiving because, that's our problem. The only problem with Thanksgiving is one day out of the year. And I don't mean the eating part. We couldn't eat like that all the time. It'd kill us. We really look like Baptists. No, I mean today. People, look at me. A day. Did you thank them today? And it kind of got me, Pastor. I was thinking about this as I read that over and preached from it many times. It doesn't just mean be thankful to God. It means be thankful to others. Yeah. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Question number one is this. Now, Let's not get hung up on being thankful. Let's talk about making sure you're a child of God. Salvation is all of grace, all of God, and all of a gift. That's not license. That's God's guarantee, knowing we are sinners saved by grace. But you got to be sure you're trusting only Jesus Christ as your Savior. And no one or nothing else. Look at me. You put works to your salvation, you will wind up in the same hell everybody else goes to. Jesus said, in that day, many will come to me and say, have we not done mighty works in your name, cast out devils in your name, prophesied in your name? These are religious people coming to Jesus. And he'll say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. You know where you go from there? You go to hell when you die. So religion is not going to work. Good works is not going to get you there. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. No inclusion, exclusion, not of works, lest any man should boast. You got to make sure you're not trusting works of any kind to have salvation. Jesus didn't die a horrible death on a bloody cross so you and I could trust him and then live right. He wants us to live right, but not for salvation, to serve him, to honor him. People who believe in eternal security are people who serve God because they love him and they want to. Talk about that as a high motive. So do you have salvation, my friend? Christ alone, Jesus alone, faith alone? If you don't, would you please let us help you today? Christian? Well, I know that stuff sounds good in church, preacher, but here's the deal. When I get home, I wasn't aware God lived in this building. He shows up when we're here, but he goes with us when we're gone. And he's just as much in your house as he is in mine, if you want him. In everything. Heavenly Father, help us this morning. Help this invitation moment, I pray. As pastor comes to take this moment, now I pray today, God, first of all and foremost, if there's one today who's not clearly trusting Christ alone for their salvation, they do so right now. Because without him, there is no eternal life. And for Christians this morning, that we'll just be a little more than be mindful, you know, think to think and all those other things, God, we'll stop and realize that in everything, we should be thankful. Heads bowed, eyes closed, please.
We'll have an invitation time. It's a time to respond to the challenge from the Word of God on your heart. It's a personal invitation time, and it's time to respond. Most importantly, in the matter of salvation, if you